Breakfast. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
With Terence Pillay.
Morning, Terence.
Morning, Darren.
I have to tell you, as a parent of an 8-year-old, I am petrified of the scenario.
And you have every reason to be. You know, I'm asking the question, do you know who your children are interacting with on social media? So a chilling video about a teenager being groomed online before being raped and murdered has got everyone's attention in the UK at the moment. The teenager was just 15 years old. She was contacted on Facebook by a man pretending to be the same age as her. She started chatting to him every day. They developed a relationship, and then that relationship grew over time, and eventually the man persuaded her to bunk school, come over to his flat. She arrived at his flat, found out that he wasn't who he said he was, that he was much older. I think he was 44 or something. But he also had an accomplice. So both of them were waiting for her at the flat. They raped and murdered her, dumped her body in a bush. Now, you think that's the UK. Stories like these are emerging faster than you think in South Africa. And I'll tell you a bit more about that. But I caught up with Mark Hardwick from The Guardian this week just to shed some light on exactly what's going on. Mark, how old should a child be before being allowed access to social media?
Terence, you know, social media is so massive. There's everything from WhatsApp, Twitter, Facebook. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So I think that question is very dependent on what we're specifically talking about. But I think one has to be aware that if you're going to allow the child to go out in a social networking environment, you're essentially allowing your child to go out in public unvetted. And so I think it's dependent on what age would you allow your child into the real world unvetted if you're going to allow them into the cyber world.
Let's talk about Facebook. How old should your child be before having access to Facebook?
You know, I think it's very dependent on the child. It's dependent on the parents. I really do think that parents have a responsibility and an obligation to engage with the child's cyber world, to engage with how they engage with the cyber world, specifically in the Facebook environment. You know, one of the things that's very easy to do in Facebook is to set your privacy settings. And all too often, parents just don't do that.
Mark, you're a specialist in your field. What have you seen? Do parents know exactly what their kids are doing on Facebook?
Absolutely not. I won't say all parents. I must be honest, there are some parents that are very engaged and really do have their finger on the pulse. But my experience is, for the most of it, no. You know, and it's a very simple concept. You know, the rules we learned when we were growing up, my parents would ensure that they knew who in the real world I was engaging with. Today, parents have an additional responsibility because they need to know the real world friends, but they also need to know the cyber world friends. And so the challenge that happens is, all too often, kids will have a Facebook account. Parents will, rather than be friends with them, will never pick up the phone to have a look. Over and above that, and we see this very often, that kids will have a second Facebook account. So one is Mark and the other one is Mark 123. And we've literally done cases where we would have, you know, on the Mark Facebook page, there's me sitting in my Sunday school clothes with my little pigtails, and I'm looking like a, you know, the perfect little girl that goes to the private school, and I'm happy for Granny to see any pictures that I post on there. And then the other one really looks like, you know, the homepage for an escort agency. It literally is that bad.
And so, parents don't know about this?
No. You know, to the point of, and I'll give you an example, one drastic error that parents often make is, you know, when kids get their cell phone, 9 times out of 10, they are getting mom or dad's old phone because mom or dad have got an upgrade. So mom or dad get an old upgrade, the old phone goes across to the child, and now the child has 2 cell phones. Now, with 2 cell phones, I can just move my SIM card between the 2 phones. So even if mom is checking the 1 phone, I can be completely doing whatever I like on the other phone with whatever accounts I like, and mom will never check that phone. So I think it's important that you say, listen, give me back the old phone so that you can access everything that they're doing on their phone.
It really is a tough call. I think the best piece of advice right there is, if you would not let your child in the real-time world into that environment, that's exactly the same with social media, unvetted.
100%. And he gives us a little later a few more.
I would love to hear from you. I'm taking all the advice I can on this. I mean, I heard a horror story. My daughter flew in from Joburg, and she told me about this lovely lady that she met on the plane. And she's like, they were going through her photos, and then the lady said, can you send me that photo? And she sent the photo through WhatsApp to the lady, and I said to her, baby, now she has your number. a complete stranger. It's like, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah. So what are the measures you have in place to ensure that your children are protected as far as social media is concerned, so that you know what they're doing, what they can or can't do? What measures are you taking? I would like to know personally, and I'm sure a lot of people listening right now would like to know as well.
But it also happens here. You know, last year a Durban teenager was caught sending naked pictures of herself to an older man, which she didn't know was older.
Yeah.
But then what happens then is she is creating child pornography, and that guys in possession of child pornography, and the parents had no idea that this was happening.
Mark, unsupervised access to a teenager on Facebook can take a dangerous turn, as we found with the case study in the UK. But closer to home, what are we looking at?
I don't want to kind of put the fear into everybody, but that absolutely happens here. And, you know, in as much as we kind of going Facebook, 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 it's not this only social media. We know that these kids will set up WhatsApp groups, they invite anybody to the group, and when somebody goes, oh, I think you're cute, or the child is getting their sense of self-worth is growing, and so then the person says, let's go private. The profile picture looks like a young boy or girl that is the same age as them, and next thing they're being lured to shopping centers to go and have a milkshake, etc., etc., and things absolutely go wrong, even to the point where we've got people that will pose as somebody that is more around the age of the potential victim, and even things like engaging with them to send inappropriate pictures and coercing them to, you know, take their clothes off, take inappropriate pictures. You're essentially, your child is setting himself up, and kids just are so unaware of the consequences.
And also, these kids are browsing on incognito tabs. They have that option now.
Sure.
And I don't think a lot of parents know about that.
100%. I mean, I think that's something you should be aware of. You know, I think it's very important that if your kid is going to go anywhere, you know, whether it be in the cyber world or the real world, you take time to know where your child is going. And so if your child has free vetted access within their room through a Wi-Fi environment in the house, and they open up their laptop or their tablet, you need to know that when they are on a Google page, they can open the incognito tab and they can literally surf anywhere, and when they close it, there is no history, and so you won't know where they've gone.
Mark, give us a bit of advice for parents.
Terence, I'd have to say that there are so many things there. I could sit here and just ramble on about bits of advice. You know, ensure passwords on place, know their passwords, you know, occasionally have a look, put net nanny in place, etc., 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 etc. But I'd have to say the thing that sums it up the most, the thing that makes that child the safest, is if you are involved. And so my absolute piece of advice on absolute everything is be involved. We get up in the morning when they need us to get up. We make sure that they're safe in the social environment. We make sure that they're safe in the cyber world and in the real world. Be involved. If you can't be involved, if you're going away on business for a while, ensure that you leave somebody, either be the other parent or an adult that you trust, to be involved. But know that the road through being a child and the road through being a teenager has got so many turns and so many pitfalls that if you're not involved and there's no one for them to turn to, they will, in the cyber world, turn to someone. And the scary thing is that there is always someone out there that will grab their hand if you're not there to take it.
I think one of the biggest things coming from this is to have a constantly open dialogue with your children. Who are you talking to? What are you talking about? No secrets whatsoever. And if you're engaged with your child and you're informing them, you're in a good place.
And no right to privacy. The child is a minor. Yeah. You're in charge of the child.
Yeah.
So when they say you're invading my right to privacy, you're actually not. You're the parent. Be the parent.
You're gonna have privacy when you get married.
Yeah.
No, it's a really tough one. And that net nanny, by the way, is a great piece of advice for certainly for very, very young kids that are just starting out on WhatsApp and using their smartphones. We asked you the question: what are you doing to try and protect your kids in the cyberspace?
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Meshak. I can tell you now, my daughter, she is 21 now. She's studying at university, and I can tell you exactly, she's still using a 199 pep cell phone without all this WhatsApp and Facebook. I don't allow my daughter to involve on those kind of things, just to be safe. Thank you.
Well, that is the one route to take. You know, you could, yes, you could, you know, just deny your children access to the 21st century, but it's that's a limited option.
Hmm.
But thank you very much for your call. We've got Ian on the line. How's it, Ian?
How's it, man? Yeah, I'm a parent myself. I've got a little boy, a toddler, but I'm actually getting myself prepared in advance. I'm actually on a netted present, and it's called Net Nanny for Parental Control Site Block and Website Block Software.
Yeah.
You can also get it, you can have it a kid in the background. You can also get it for Android, Net Nanny for Android.
Okay.
And it says here that you can actually, a product for content watching provided internet protection software includes parental controls and internet filtering software. So the only person who can unlock that Net Nanny is mom or dad, because it gives you a code.
Okay, I have heard about it. I've never actually looked at it and gone down the route. It's an excellent way to go.
Parents need to explore that.
I have some friends who have teenage kids. Mm. And the kids cannot just go on and watch whatever they want to, because they have to have a code you have to punch in.
Yeah.
So and not to deny them, to protect them, because we, the parents, are responsible to protect.
Absolutely.
We are there to give them 100% of what they need, but not necessarily what they want.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you very much, Ian, from Pinetown, for giving us a call. This is a story which we're going to have to watch. We'll give you tips. We'll give you advice. We're living in a digital age, and the threats are all over the place. Net Nanny, great piece of advice.